There we go. Well, good evening, everyone. And just a reminder to the visitors, that little card is more valuable than a free pass to a rock concert, because it gets you a cappuccino here. You don't get cappuccinos at a rock concert. So it really is important. And if you don't want a cappuccino, then I'll be just in the front here. No, I'm just joking. But really, it's wonderful to bring a message this evening. And it's going on Steve's sermon from 2 weeks ago, where he spoke about building a new church. And so I've entitled my message this evening, Building a New Church. And the answer is yes. Now that was for all the questions from the people that said, but isn't that the same title as Steve's sermon 2 weeks ago? It was a word of knowledge. Yes is the answer. It is exactly the same title. And it's not the physical church, because we've had people come along and say, are we putting a new mezzanine? Are we having a terrace? No, it's a spiritual church that we're building. And in building a new church, there's an analogy we could use to a physical building. And I think it's a good analogy, but I want to use an analogy out of Ezra, when they were tasked to go and build a temple that had been destroyed many, many years before, 70 years before. And so I want us to turn to the book of Ezra. It's in the Old Testament, just after Chronicles. And I really was excited. And Steve gave that message 2 Sundays ago. In fact, I got so excited. I said, if no one else is going to get excited, I'm going to get saved again and join this church. At least there's two of us that are excited about it. Pleasure. But really, it's time to build a new church. We're talking about a spiritual church. We have a wonderful building here. I don't know how many people were here when we moved here for the very first time. How many people were here? In the old building that you had to jump across between the two buildings to get from one. Remember that? Every time you jumped across, it was like, am I going to trip? Am I going to fall? Or to this building we have this evening. It's been a long journey. In fact, we've had 3 alterations to get to here. And this building itself was never meant to look like this. Remember, it was meant to have a much lower roof. And then, by God's grace, we found out the one roof was all rotten, so we had to make it all the same height up there. And as a result, we got such lack of sound. Isn't it amazing? That's God working. And we got a bigger coffee bar. All the cappuccino lovers said, amen. Yes. Oh, that's all of you. Okay, we're all on the same page. But really, from the day we moved into this building, God had a purpose for us in this church. You know that this has always been a church. In fact, we bought it from another church. They went and built somewhere else and we moved here. And every time we try and move from here, we can't move from here. God just leaves us here. We went to look for other land. We didn't get the land. God said, extend your tent here. And that's what we did. God wants us to be here. In fact, there's been prophetic words over Highway for I don't know how long about us being a lighthouse. There's a prophetic word that's been spoken over us. We would be a light to the Highway area. And here's a hot tip. We're not putting massive big floodlights on our roof. The light is you and me. We will be the light to Highway. So let's turn to Ezra. You know that when God builds, He always fills it. Have you seen that in Scripture? When God builds, He always fills. If you have a look at Moses' tabernacle, Moses has this big tent, the tent of meeting. And if you go and read in Exodus 40:34, you'll see that Moses builds it and then God fills it with His presence. Listen to what it says. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. Moses was no longer able to enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it and the tabernacle was filled with the awesome glory of the Lord. Now whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle and moved, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. When God builds, He fills. So you're saying, oh, what about Noah's ark? God put the animals in the ark. It wasn't Noah that did it. God filled it with life and hope and a covenant. If you have a look at David's tabernacle, He filled that too. If you go and read, you'll hear that there were priests and there were people singing 24 hours a day because the presence of God was in David's tabernacle. And then the Lord said to David, I'm not going to let you build my temple. Your son Solomon will build it. So Solomon built it. And guess what? You're right. 2 Chronicles 5:14. God's presence was so thick in that temple, listen to what it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Whenever God builds, He will fill. And then we'll get to the temple. You say, Brad, what about the temple in Jesus' day? Well, God didn't build that one. Herod did. And in fact, it was destroyed in AD 70. And Jesus was unhappy what was happening in that temple. Stealing from the people, trying to sell old fruit goats to the people. Jesus was not happy. And then we get to the New Testament. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And then he goes on and he says this, for we are the temple of the living God. That's you and me. We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. There was a shift in emphasis from a building to I will dwell within you. I will dwell in your heart. There was a spiritual building that was taking place. And so these people in Corinth, they knew about temples. Is this thing bothering you like it's bothering me? No, okay. You see, this thing's flicking all over. What's wrong, Janet? That's got a little hook. No, it's called my ear. Right. Now, the people in Corinth knew about temples because they had one of the biggest pagan temples that you could find in Corinth. And yes, Paul speaking and saying, we the temple. God dwells within us. And so this new church that we're talking about is a spiritual building. The church within us. Anyway, back to Ezra. And so if you go and read in Ezra, you'll see that the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and all the Jews were taken off to Babylon as captives. And many years later, Nebuchadnezzar, and there was a whole lot of kings, and there was Belshazzar. Remember, God wrote with his finger on the wall, and Cyrus became king. Babylonians were defeated, and then Cyrus became the king of Persia. And listen to what it says in 1 Ezra 1. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation into writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. Now in those days when the king said something, you did it. Because if you didn't, you got killed. It's very easy. You either listened or die. Hot tip, rather listen. And so he said, this is what's going to happen. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem in the land of Judea. All of you who are his people may return to Jerusalem and Judea to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. Point number one, when we build this new church, one is hearing from God. And he has a hot tip. It might come through a pagan. Came through Cyrus. Here's Cyrus, been king for 1 year. He gets up, says, guys, your God, because if you look in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O-R-D. That means Yahweh. He's talking about the Hebrew God, not about all the other gods that he worshipped. He knows who spoke to him. He's saying, guys, your God, the Hebrew God, who's given me all of this, he recognizes what God gave him. He's told me to let you go to build the temple. In hearing God, sometimes it won't come from the source you think it might come from. We've heard from the Lord. The Lord has said we've got to build a new building. You and me, you've got to be filled with Christ, the Holy Spirit, Christ-centered. That's a word we've been given. We're hearing from the Lord. And let me tell you, when you're going to hear from God and you say, I've heard from the Lord, you better be serious about it. Hearing from God is a serious matter. You see, it says here that he fulfilled the words of Jeremiah. Here's Cyrus, a pagan king, fulfilling prophecy. Because in Jeremiah it says this, then after 70 years are over, of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon, which was Belshazzar, and his people for their sins. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed, I will visit you, I will fulfill to you my promise, and bring you back to this place. Now you can imagine when Cyrus became king. Because this was written in Jeremiah. Those Jews were reading what Jeremiah said. Do you know that it was prophesied in Isaiah 150 years before Cyrus became king? This is what the Lord said to Isaiah. Write this down. My shepherd Cyrus will free my people. He actually mentioned his name in Isaiah. 150 years before. The Jews knew that. When Cyrus became king, what do you think they were doing? Okay, what are you saying? What's going to happen? They were ready for Cyrus to say go. Because they had heard from God. Through the prophet Isaiah, through the prophet Jeremiah. They had heard the word. It said, I'm going to free you through a man called Cyrus. And then you go and you read on in Ezra. You'll see that God will use a pagan and he will use a prophet to come and speak. And God will speak to you in your heart. So number one is we've got to hear the voice of God. Number two, the vision or the picture. What is the vision or the picture? They had a picture of the temple. Most of those people had never been inside the temple because it had been destroyed 70 years before. If they had, they'd be very old men and women. These people hadn't seen the temple, but they knew exactly what it was all about. They'd been told the picture of the temple that Solomon had built. This is what it looked like. This is what it had inside. This is what we did. They saw a picture. Words of a highway is that we would be a lighthouse. There's a picture already. Light was going to shine. We're going to influence people's lives. We're going to touch them. Prophetic word has come many, many times. Speaking of Christ being at the center here at Highway. You know, they got excited to rebuild because they knew what they were going to build. They knew what they were going to build. They got excited about it. Now this is what happens when God speaks and you get the picture. When God speaks to you and you've got the picture, let me tell you, you can't hold yourself back. The day that Cyrus made this proclamation, I bet you they were already organizing on how to get back. You see, and it goes on in Ezra 1:5, it says, then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. That then God stirred their hearts. The correct interpretation is they got excited by the word of God. God didn't come and stir their hearts. Their hearts were stirred by the word of God already. They already knew what God had promised. My question is, what's stirring our heart to what God's promised us here at Highway? What's stirring your heart? Is there anything stirring your heart? That's a good question. Is there anything? If there isn't, seek God. Have a look at His Word. Listen to the prophetic voice that's speaking. But get stirred by the voice of God. They got stirred up. And they got excited. What God's got in store. What's the picture that we see? Believers convinced that we exist for God's glory. I'm excited to see that. Every person at Highway convinced without a shadow of a doubt that they exist for the glory of God. There's a picture. Here's a picture, completely satisfied with Jesus Christ. Completely satisfied. Last week I said this thing. Some of you may remember. I said that God wants your iPod. Can you remember me saying that? A little boy came to me afterwards. He said, Brad, does God really want my iPod? So I said, no, God doesn't need your iPod. But He doesn't want your iPod to be more important than Him. You see, God doesn't want those things that you've got. He's got enough. But He doesn't want them to be more important than Him. That's the picture we got to see. Who is more important in your life? Who is the most important in your life? If you've been recently married, probably your spouse, but that will change. No, I'm joking. It will never change. But who is the most important thing? Is Jesus the most important thing in your life? Is that the picture we see? Is the picture ever increasing glory in this place? God honored in everything that we do. Is that the picture that we see? You see, when you have this hearing God's voice and the picture, and you put those two together, let me tell you, no one will hold you back. Nobody will hold you back. A few years ago, before we came into eldership, it was 2 years before we came into eldership, I got this voice, this thing, God was saying, I want you to go into full-time ministry. That stage, the business was going great, it was growing. I said, Lord, are you sure? And I had a whole lot of things that God had just said, I want you to go into full-time ministry. And so I shared it with Esther and I said, babe, I'm thinking God's wanting me to go into full-time ministry. She said, He hasn't said anything to me. So I said, no, but that's what we're going to pray for, that you and me hear the same voice. Because I'm not dragging nobody behind me. Here's a hot tip for married couples. If one of you hears God, make sure the other also hears Him. Because you can't drag each other down the road. One of you is going to be the handbrake, other one's going to get tired of dragging. And so we prayed. We said, okay. I said, babe, I'm not doing a thing until you've heard with the same clarity that I have that God's spoken. She said, yes, let's pray. So we prayed. We prayed, Lord, speak to Esty. I said, Lord, quickly, please. And loud, you know. I said, Lord, please speak. Speak to Esty. That she has the same conviction I have that this is where you're wanting us to go. It's a big step. I wasn't a youngster. I sometimes think I'm like Caleb, 80 years old. Give me the island. And so 5 months later, you know, God doesn't always answer like that. He wants to also teach us some things in the process. 5 months later, Esty's walking through Westville Mall. This little old lady comes behind her. Excuse me, excuse me. A short little lady, this high. She works in the florist. She comes out. She says, excuse me, I'm sorry to worry you. You are the lady I saw in my dream. She says, I've been stopping people for 2 weeks. They haven't been you. This is you. Can we go talk somewhere? So now Esty's interested. Yes, we can. Go to the bench there in Westmore. She sits down. She says, please tell me you're a Christian. She says, yes, I am. She says, oh, thank goodness. She said, God has given me something to tell you. He gave me this vision of you and your husband in front of your church with your congregation. My wife starts crying. She says, what did I say? She says, you don't understand. It's just a confirmation of where God wants us to go. God wasn't saying, I'm going to put you in a church with all the... He was saying, that's the direction I want you to go. Let me tell you, nothing could hold us back. We knew where God wanted us. As a church, do we know where God wants us? Oh yes, we do. Filled with the glory of God. Christ is central in our lives. He's the most important thing in our lives. That's where God wants us. And let me tell you, when you hear it, you've got the vision, nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. If you go on into Ezra, you'll see they had strategic planning teams. There's things that have got to be planned. We do things in the church. We have all sorts of ministries running, all sorts of things going. If you go and read there, they had all the necessary things. They had priests, Levites, nobles, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants. You can go and read in Ezra 2, 3 to 57. They had everything ready for the temple. Do you think that they only did that the day after Cyrus said that word? They were prepared. They were saying, listen, God spoke. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready for the time that He releases. And you know what? That's the same for us here at Highway. Are you ready for when God says, I'm going to release it? Are you prepared? All those people were prepared already. Right down to the gatekeepers in the temple and the temple servants. Already trained, ready. When Cyrus said, go build the temple, they were ready to go. They were ready to go. You know, I was born ready. When I was a little lighty this big, I told my dad I want to swim. I had this gift of getting off that starting block the quickest. Everyone thought I cheated. Until actually, they looked carefully. The timekeepers looked. My feet were still on the block by the time the gun went off. Every time. But I had this knack of being ready. You know, I'd say to the guy, right, come on, come on. I dare you pull the trigger. I dare you to pull the trigger. I was ready. Are you ready? When the Lord says, release. Are you ready? We've got to be in the starting blocks ready for what God's going to do here. And I tell you, when you're ready, you're way ahead of the pack. I was always 2 body lengths on the turn just because of my start. Are we ready? Strategic planning. Fundraising. Oh, you must go and read in Ezra. Do you think that the Lord just said, go and then build this little shanty for me? No. Go and look what was given. Cyrus, the king of Persia, gives them treasure to build their temple. You can go and read it. I couldn't believe all the things that they said. That he gave. He gave gold and silver. And I don't mean 1 or 2 plates. I mean tons of the stuff. He gave. And then you go and have a look. Who also gave? Their neighbors gave. Those people that didn't go with said, you know what? We believe in what you're doing. And they gave as well. Then the king gave. And the people that went took from their own resources and put it into the temple as well. You can read that in Ezra 1 and Ezra 2. About the treasures that were given to build the temple. Where God sends, He provides. Where God's telling us to go, He will give us provision to go there. Don't panic about that. He will provide the way. He will provide the means, financial and otherwise, for us to get there. But He will provide. There were three different groups that were provided. Provision will come from every single area in the church. There will be provision for it. It won't only be in one area. Because God's told us where He wants us to go. Provision will be there. And you see in these funds that there's going to be this fundraising, but we're not going to raise money. We're going to raise something else. We need to raise faith, number one. If we're going on this journey where God's telling us He's taking us, we're going to need lots of faith. Lots of faith. We're going to see our expectation rising. What are we expecting to happen? Our expectation rises. Can you imagine their expectation when Cyrus says, go build a temple? Ooh, how are we going to build a temple? Then they get all this gold and silver. They had huge expectations when they traveled. And listen, it wasn't just an overnight trip on the ox wagon. It was months of dangerous journey to get there. Carrying all this treasure to go build God's temple. Because He had spoken. It will also mean a raising of our faith and dependence on the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit like never before. Let me tell you that if you try to build the building yourself, you're not going to succeed. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and God builds His way, we're going to be successful. Herod's temple was not successful. Man built it. In fact, it was bashed down. And nonsense happened in that temple. But when God builds, by His Holy Spirit, that will never get torn down. Never ever. That will stay strong right to the end. We need to raise our level of worship. Come in here to worship God. We're going to raise that. We need faith for that. We're going to raise our faith for the hunger for His Word. This year, the Word of God. It's not a book. It's the Word of God. It's very different. It's like a book, but it's not a book. It's the Word of God. If you want to know the will of God, you will find most of it in here. If you read it, you will find it. You don't have to look for it anywhere else. You can find it in here. And His Holy Spirit also will enlighten things to you. I can read the same passage this year, last month, next month, I read it. I think, well, that wasn't there before. The Holy Spirit is just loving me, saying, I need you to focus on this. Speaking to me through the Word. If you're confused about the will of God, it's in here. He'll tell you. It's not difficult. But a hunger for the Word has got to come upon us. Lord, what are you saying? We're not going to guess. God will speak very clearly. He will speak through the prophetic by His Holy Spirit. And He will speak through His Word that He's given us. You know that that construction began. And in this whole move with the building a new church, everyone's going to be involved. Because we're not leaving anyone behind. We're not dragging people along with us. Everyone is going to be involved. What has God put in your hand for now? Because you know what the danger is? Lord, I'll tell you what. Come the end of the year, when I've got my life right, then I can serve you flat out. That's a lie. You've got exactly what God needs right now in your hand. You just got to give it. I've always said this, and I'll for the sake of repeating myself again, I'm going to repeat myself. You are not here by accident. You may have driven past and saw this building and thought, oh, I think it's a club. And you ran it up in church. Hot tip, God needed you. He wanted you, yeah. You mean in this church? Yes, yeah. With all your warts and wrinkles and your gifts. You see, we always focus on people's warts and wrinkles. You mean that man or that lady with all the warts and wrinkles? No, that lady with the warts and wrinkles, the man with the warts and wrinkles, with their gifts. All of you have been given at least one gift, but I'm telling you, you've got more than one. For this body here, this church, HCC. Don't look anywhere else. If you're here, you're here for a reason. See the season out. And if God says don't move, don't move. If He says move, please move. But God has gifted you here, gifts and talents for this church, HCC. Whatever you got in your hand, use. Lord, I'm not ready. You're in the best place for God to use you. When we're not ready, God can use us. You know why? Because you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because you can't rely on that super gift that you thought you had. Lord, lead me and guide me because I can't do this on my own. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. Everyone was involved. If you go and read in Ezra 3:7 onwards, you will see every single person was involved in building that temple. It says there, their workforce was made up of everyone who had returned from exile. Hadn't leave anyone out. Everybody, man, woman and child, was involved in the rebuilding of the temple. Every one of us will be involved in the rebuilding of the new church, where Christ is central in our lives. Every one of us will be involved, leaving no one behind. You know that when we built this church, we had all sorts of projects. What is that one? Shoshaloza. Oh, I keep thinking Shongololo, but that's Shoshaloza. Remember, we had all those. We had garage sales. We had cake sales. I had so much fudge in those 2 years. Every time that I bought it. Remember, we had all sorts of things. Everyone got involved in building this church. Look what we got. Every single one of you has got a fingerprint somewhere on this building. Somewhere. But everyone is involved. God will use you right now if you will allow Him. He's not going to force Himself on you. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. I'm saying, you know what? That gift that you got, just allow God to use it. Don't think it's not important. Yeah, but I only got this little thing. No. There was a little boy that had a few fishes and a little bit of bread. How do you think he felt in front of 5,000 people? Little boy, why don't you just give us your food? Why? I want to feed all these people. Are you nuts? It's my lunch! Until Jesus got involved. Until Jesus gets involved. Then it's no longer your lunch. Then it's a banquet. Your lunch will become a banquet for 5,000 people. Give what you've got to God and let Him use it. He'll do more of that than you ever thought possible. Number 6, we're going to have to overcome some inconvenience. You go and read in Ezra 4 verse 4. Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them to frustrate their aims. They didn't want them to build the temple. Let me tell you, where God's taking us, we're going to have some inconvenience. We're going to have some opposition. Especially from that guy in tight red pants and a little fork. He does not want us to go forward in God's plans. Let me tell you, the worst attacks in my life from the enemy have been when God's wanting to do something in my life. Oh Lord, what's going on? The devil's not happy. Let me tell you, don't ignore the devil. You're okay, he's nothing. No, he is something, but he's not victorious. God has already won the victory. He's going to take you. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have persecution. Paul reminds us, you're going to have opposition and persecution as you go. In this journey we're going on, in building this new church, we're going to have opposition. We're going to have lots of inconvenience. But hot tip, it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. Nothing worthwhile was ever got easily. We're going to have some inconvenience. Remember when we built this church, we had umbrellas and knee blankets. It was so cold in this half of the church. Remember, we had knee blankets for everyone. I even saw Zip and Jimmy with knee blankets. No, I'm joking. They were men. But there's some inconvenience that we're going to have on the way. But we can deal with it. You see, when you've got the word from God in that picture, nothing's going to stop you. Nothing. So what is this new church? Well, let me tell you, it says in Ezra 6:16 that when they had built this temple, listen what they brought to the ceremony. 100 young bulls, 200 rams, and 400 lambs. That's a lot of meat. That's a big bra. They rejoiced when they had built that temple. They had, I don't know that they could have finished that in one day. I reckon there were thousands of doggy bags that went home. But that was a big meal. There will be a rejoicing as we go and we complete this new church that God's wanting to build. We will get there one day. It's not this thing that keeps on escaping you all the time. We will get there. And God will lead us on to something else. But right now, that's where we're going. We're building this new church, Christ central in our lives. And the most important thing, putting everything aside for Christ, this is the new church that we're building. Prophetically, and I want to end with this, Steve had two chunks of scripture. The one was from Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Arise, let your light shine for all the nations to see, for the glory of the Lord is shining upon you.
Darkness as black as night will cover all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine over you. All nations will come to your light. All nations will come to your light. Brad, are you sure? Yes. In this church, we have every nation in Africa at the moment coming to this church. Our light will shine. You are the light. You shine. When you say hello to that new visitor at the door, your light is shining. When you go and offer to make someone some coffee, your light is shining. When you see somebody in need and they're hungry and you give them something to eat, your light is shining. When you pray for somebody that's sick and they're healed, your light is shining. And when you go to work and pray quietly in your boss's office, when he's not there, your light is shining. Our light will shine in Highway. Arise, shine, for all the nations to see. And then on in 2 Corinthians 3. Talking about in that, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new covenant. Speaking about Christ. Christ has got to be central in our lives. Since this new covenant gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory fading away. But you see, whoever turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. It says that in 3:16. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And so this evening, we are building a new church. It's a spiritual church. You and I are being the light. We've heard from the Lord, and we are continuing to hear from God. There's a picture that He's given us of what this church will look like. We're going to have some obstacles. Everyone's going on this journey. We're leaving nobody behind. We're going to have to change some things. And there might be some inconvenience in that. But we're going to make sure that God's saying change it, not for the sake of change, but because the Lord wants to change it. But it's going to take you and me. We're going to build this together. It's not the elders or the deacons or one cell group doing it. We are all doing it together. And let me tell you, apart from the opposition and the inconveniences that will come, it's going to be wonderful to go on this journey together. We're going to take all these treasures along. We're going to climb on our camels and our donkeys. And we're going to say, Lord, take us. Because we're going to go on this journey with you. Won't you all stand with me? Lord, the cry of our heart this evening is that as we go on this journey, Lord, as you build this new church, we ask, Father, that we would go with a blessing of your hand. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would fill us, indwell us, would guide our feet. Lord, that we would do nothing without your voice speaking. We pray, Father, that as we build this new church with you, that you, Lord, would be our compass. Father, as opposition comes, we pray, Father, we would rest on you. We would not see for the circumstances, but Lord, that we'd see the picture that you've given. A people Christ-centered, light shining from within them. We thank you, Lord, where you've placed us here at Highway. We thank you, Lord, for your word again and again that said that we will be a light to us. We will be the light to nations around us. We give you thanks for that. As we go on this journey, Father, we pray for your favor and your blessing. But Lord, we pray that all glory would be to you, not to us, and that your light would continue to shine. In Jesus' name. Steve?